Hello, welcome to Senior Speak. Each week we discuss issues that affect the quality of life of older adults and family members, professionals, and volunteers who work with older adults. Our program is hosted in Colorado, and we're delighted to welcome our listeners in South Carolina and in Sarasota, Florida. We hope you find Senior Speak meaningful in your life and that it supports you in many ways in helping you become a more active agent in your own healthcare. My name is Marla Oberhausen. I am your host. Our guest today will be discussing part two of our series on hormone replacement therapy. I'm joined by Dr. John Day and pharmacist Chris Turf. For those of you who did not join us last week, let me spend a few moments here at the beginning and introduce today's guests. Chris is a registered pharmacist specializing in compounded medications, hormonal replacement therapy, and herbal and natural medicines. He is a bright young man. He graduated with honors in 1992 from the University of Colorado School of Pharmacy. He's been given awards for his studies in psychiatric medicine. He's completed certification at the Professional Compounding Centers of America. He's a regular contributor of health-related articles for a local, that is Colorado, newspaper and several internet sites. He's been a keynote speaker for the American Society on Aging, the ASA, and he's appeared on radio and television programs to talk about wellness and wise medicating. Chris currently manages Pharmica Integrative Pharmacy on Pearl Street in Boulder. It's a full-service pharmacy specializing in compounded medications, and it also offers complete lines of herbal and nutritional supplements and a comprehensive selection of homeopathic remedies. Chris or any of his staff can be reached at, now take a pen and write this down, 303-442-5164. Let me say it again, 303-442-5164. Or if you're visiting Colorado and you're visiting Boulder, Colorado, you can visit him at 1647 Pearl Street. Our second guest today is Dr. John Day. He's a native of Alabama. He received his medical degree from Tulane University School of Medicine in New Orleans in 1977. He completed a surgical residency at the University of Maryland Hospital in Baltimore in 1981. And he moved to Boulder, Colorado, where he practiced general and vascular surgery at the Boulder Medical Center until Thanksgiving 2001. Then he started his own business called the Halen Lifestream Center, and he has begun working as a consultant for people desiring holistic lifestyle advice. You can reach John in Boulder at 303-449-0737, and for those of you who are not Colorado residents along the Front Range, you don't know that John is very well respected here as a fine surgeon and a good human being, and was named Physician of the Year at Boulder Medical Center in 1994. Gentlemen, welcome back to Senior Speak, and thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Marla.
Thanks,
very
Marla.
Nice to be here.
Last week, we discussed hormone replacement therapy, and we just touched on some of the hormones. From our discussion, it's obvious that there are many more hormones and options available than the ones that physicians usually prescribe to people. Let's start today by talking with our listeners about the major biomarker hormones that people should consider supplementing in their life. And Chris, we'll start with you.
Well, besides the big two, the estrogen and progesterone that we usually hear about, the others that we should consider supplementing would be DHEA, testosterone, pregnenolone.
Let me stop you. What the heck is pregnenolone? I've never heard of that.
Pregnenolone is a precursor hormone that's kind of the mother of all the other hormones in our body.
Okay.
Human growth hormone. Human growth hormone. I'll say that again.
Okay.
Thyroid hormones and melatonin.
Okay. So there are an assortment of natural products. Now, folks, if you missed our show last week, I am really sorry you missed it because we had a lot of good information. specifically focusing on the benefits of natural hormones. And so we're going to say that word probably 20 times today for you. Please consider taking natural supplements. Let's talk a little bit for the folks who did not hear us last week about the difference between Premarin and the natural bioidentical estrogens.
Premarin's a perfect example of a case where there's a huge difference in a normal pharmaceutically prescribed product and what's happening with a natural bioidentical estrogen that is found in your body. Premarin's derived from the urine of pregnant mares, from horses. This horse estrogen contains over 20 estrogenic compounds in ratios that are very different than those found in human women. Human women have three major estrogens only in a very specific physiologic ratio. In women, an estrogen called estriol that happens to protect against cancer is the largest amount of the ratio at about 80%. In Premarin, estriol is less than 13%. While the potential carcinogenic estrogens and estrogen type compounds in horse urine are much higher in ratio. Granted, Premarin works fairly well for some women for symptoms, but we can definitely do better with a physiologic estrogen.
Which is an estrogen, when you say physiologic, it means an estrogen that the body will recognize as consistent with what it's used to having.
Exactly.
So it doesn't have to go, what the heck is this? I don't know what all these other little compounds are, and I'm not sure what I should do with them. And if the body doesn't know what it should do with them, doesn't it create some chaos in the body? And isn't it hard for the body? And then it has to go to the liver, and it has to be flushed out because it doesn't know what to do with it.
Exactly.
Well, I'll give an example. I recently had a client who suffers from depression, and she came to me to talk specifically about the question of whether natural hormones could improve her case. We did discuss estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, DHEA, and pregnenolone for her, which are the major sex steroid hormones. And We also discussed natural thyroid hormone for her and melatonin, which are non-sex steroids. She did take my prescription for the estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, went back to her psychiatrist, who is a noted local psychiatrist, and he said, don't use the progesterone because it causes depression. Quite the opposite, my friends. Progesterone is the serenity hormone. It is not a depressant. In fact, it is an antidepressant. What the physician was thinking about are progestins, the pharmaceutical derivative of natural progesterone. Progestins are notorious for causing depression.
Okay.
But most physicians are not used to thinking natural, so that was the source of the confusion there. The progesterone is really a rather wonderful antidepressant, and as a matter of fact, most of the sex steroid hormones act as antidepressants, and most of the sex steroid hormones act to help us relieve stress and combat stress. One of the best ways for a person to raise their natural levels of hormones is simply to fall in love or to develop a passion in life. Some type of positive emotive experience naturally leads to a rise in the major sex steroid hormones, which all nourish the nervous system and the nerve cell sheaths.
And I think you bring up something, John, that's very important for a lot of our listeners. There is so much confusion sometimes. And you folks out there have to decide who you're going to listen to, what you're going to listen to. And you need to question and not take things just at face value. And I think too many of us have gone into traditional Western physicians and they've said, well, don't take that because that'll make you more depressed. And so something doesn't feel quite right, and it doesn't make much sense to you, but you don't take it. And so you need to get good information from a variety of sources of people that you trust, put it all together, synthesize it, go inside yourself and see what feels right to you, and then make some choices. And it makes great sense to me that natural, in most cases, is better than things that are synthetically made, like the Premarin that Chris was talking about. I know those horses are kept in these little tiny stalls and they're kept impregnated all the time. And it's a terrible life for them. And the reality is that the Premarin is not as good as a natural substitute. So I'm delighted that you folks are here and talking about this today. Let's talk about the natural micronized, and you'll have to explain that term to us, Chris, progesterone compared to Provera, which is a synthetic progestin, which is what John was talking about, the thing that that makes you more depressed.
Yeah, he's already alluded to this. Natural micronized progesterone is the progesterone exactly that's found in your body. They are one in the same. And Provera actually is a compound that a drug company took natural progesterone and added some things to it so that they could go ahead and patent it and sell it as a prescription product. Because as we mentioned in the last show, a manufacturer cannot patent a natural human hormone, a hormone that happens in nature. So what they've done is they've actually taken it and they've altered it in some way so that they can go ahead and sell it. Now, your body does not recognize this in the same manner as the natural hormone. Your natural micronized progesterone is very protective for breast and endometrial tissues and helps build bone and healthy tissue, where the progestin, your Provera or medroxyprogesterone, is only good for decreasing symptoms of menopause, nothing more.
That's all it does.
Pretty much.
All right, and I think that's a huge issue, folks, for you to realize, is that you cannot patent a naturally occurring substance in nature or what naturally occurs in the body, so it has to be altered, added to, taken away from, in order to get that patent, which means they can hold license to sell it, and they can get money from that. And so you have to keep that in perspective as you're making some of your choices. Thanks for joining us today on Senior Speak. Again, welcome to our listeners in other states apart from Colorado. We're delighted you're here with us. We'll be right back after this break with Chris Turf and Dr. John Day, and we're going to talk more about hormone replacement therapy. Huge issue for many of us, menopausal, postmenopausal. Please join us. Hello, welcome back to Senior Speak. My name is Marla Oberhausen. I am your host. I am here for part two of our series on hormone replacement therapy with our guest, Dr. John Day, and pharmacist Chris Turf. I hope you are taking notes today, and I hope you've got a pen and a pad of paper and can write these phone numbers down for future reference. You can get a hold of John Day, Dr. John Day, who runs the Halen Lifestream Center in Boulder, at 303-449-0737. And you can get a hold of Christopher Turf, our registered pharmacist, at the Pharmaca Integrative Pharmacy on Pearl Street. You can visit them if you live in Colorado, in Boulder, at 1647 Pearl Street. Or you can call Chris at 303-442-5164. Chris does send out compounds to various parts of the country, and we'll talk with you about what your needs are. So I invite you to keep those phone numbers for future reference. We've been talking about hormone replacement therapy, and during the break we decided it might be helpful for you folks to understand the differences between sex steroid hormones and non-sex steroidal hormones. So, John, you want to tell our listeners about that?
Well, the sex steroid hormones are made in sex organs, i.e. testicle, ovary, and adrenal. They are basically five of them. They are all derived from cholesterol. Cholesterol is made into pregnenolone, which is the grandmother or the mother hormone, the mother sex steroid hormone of all of them. It would not be possible for one to just take pregnenolone to make all of the chemistry of the rest of them happen. That's somewhat of a myth, but pregnenolone is a wonderful hormone that we should all consider. Pregnenolone is then made into progesterone. Progesterone is the precursor hormone to all of the adrenal hormones, so it supports adrenal function. Pregnenolone is also made into DHEA, or dehydroepiandrosterone, which is a major anti-aging hormone. Progesterone is made into both testosterone and estrogen by way of an intermediate hormone called androstenedione, which is not used. So the five major ones that are the sex steroid hormones are pregnenolone, DHEA, progesterone, testosterone, and estrogens. There are three estrogens. Chris has been talking about them. Two of these estrogens are very strong. They are estrone and estradiol, and they interconvert in the human. And the third estrogen is weak. It is estriol. It is a downstream metabolite of estrone and estradiol presence, and it is a protective hormone, mostly against breast cancer problem. Then we have the non-sex steroid hormones, and these non-sex steroid hormones are made in the pineal gland, and that's melatonin. That's in the midbrain. In the thyroid gland, and that's thyroid hormone, mostly in the form of what we call T4. Mm-hmm. And then there's human growth hormone, or HGH, that's made in the anterior part of the pituitary gland, which sits just under the pineal. We probably can start with melatonin, which comes from the pineal gland. When I was in medical school in the 70s, we only knew that the pineal made melatonin, but nothing was known about melatonin.
Okay.
The first thing that was discovered was that it helps with circadian rhythm sleep cycling. Then we started discovering, or they started discovering, and that it has a sort of an overriding regulatory effect on the function of the immune system and the function of most other hormones. And that most of these hormones tend to want to come out at night to play, to rejuvenate us. and you want to remember this point because most hormones should be taken at night because that's the natural physiologic way that the body does it. So melatonin, as I was saying, has a major regulatory effect on other hormone functioning. And it has a major regulatory effect on the immune system by entraining white blood cells in the thymus gland. Melatonin seems to down-regulate estrogen receptors in the breast, so it improves breast cancer risk and can be used in many natural regimens and should be used for all those people who are dealing with a breast cancer diagnosis. I think over age 45 to 50, we should all be taking a little bit of melatonin because of what it does for our immune system and how it helps prevent against cancers in general. It is also necessary as a hormone that it be present so that we can convert our thyroid hormone to its more biologically active form. So we need to be able to convert T4, thyroxin, in the liver and kidneys into T3, which is triiodothyronine, and that is a melatonin-driven, it's progesterone-driven, testosterone-driven, and so a number of other of the sex steroid hormones come into play to help with our thyroid conversion.
Okay.
So melatonin has other effects also. It seems to assist the liver in its functions. That is, it induces the liver cleansing enzymes to wake up and go and clean the blood and help with detoxification processes. I've mentioned that it down-regulates against all types of cancers. It does appear to increase sex drive. It normalizes growth hormone levels. Growth hormone is the most potent of all of the anti-aging substances that we know of. It helps lower cholesterol if cholesterol is high. It protects various antioxidant enzyme systems in our body from becoming damaged or oxidized themselves. It regenerates the thymus gland, which atrophies with age. And there are yet more wonderful effects of melatonin, undoubtedly, that are yet to be discovered. So
it is a really important support for people, men and women, then. This is just not something that women would take to support their breast tissue. This is something that's really good for men, too.
Yeah, melatonin is very high in our bodies at about age 25, and it starts declining after that time. And after age 45 to 50, I think it's very important for people to use it in the 1 to 3 milligram range sublingually or under the tongue.
Mm-hmm. And why is that better than the kind that you just swallow and pops into the stomach?
If we swallow it and it pops into the stomach and then pops into the intestines and then enters the bloodstream and is carried directly to the liver where most of it is wiped out. if we can absorb a hormone transdermally or transcutaneously or through the lining of the mouth, then yes, indeed, the hormone will eventually make its way to the liver, but will tend to improve sustained blood levels for physiologic effect. And melatonin's peak levels are usually at about 3 a.m.
Interesting. So I like the little analogy you gave about they come out to play at night. But a lot of people, I think, take all their supplements in the morning. You know, melatonin, clearly you're going to take on a cycle of so many hours before you go to sleep or whatever. But I think a lot of people don't realize that maybe they need to take some of their supplements at night so they can come out and play and have fun together.
Well, we're talking about hormone supplements. Other supplements like vitamins and essential fatty acids and herbs, we can take those in the morning and throughout the day. Now, we should take some hormones in the morning because we do get blood levels, but we definitely don't want to forget to also take the hormones at night.
Okay.
Because one of the major functions of all of these hormones is to help in regeneration of the body. And when the body can slip into deep REM sleep, then growth hormone is going to be enhanced and all these other hormones are going to have a better chance to perform their rejuvenation of the cell.
Sometime I want you guys to come back and talk about the benefits of sleep and how sleep connects with so many of these hormones and helps us stay well and get well, because so many people in our country don't sleep well.
Well, we don't know it, but sleep is a very important realm of our life where we can go and heal our life. There's a lot of healing that can happen during the sleep cycle that we should probably discuss sometime. It would be a very good topic.
Yeah, I'll have you guys come back and we'll talk more about that. Well, since we're talking about melatonin as a non-sex steroid, let's talk a little bit about thyroid and some of the challenges with that. A lot of people in America have challenges with thyroid. What are the differences between natural thyroid hormone and Synthroid, which is a synthetic thyroid hormone? Because I know a lot of people that take Synthroid. Okay, Chris, you want to answer that one?
Well, Synthroid, as the name implies, it's a sin to prescribe it because it's so different than what we really need.
I want to echo that. I think it should be taken off of the market.
Are you? Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it's been around for 50 years. It's grandfathered in. Chris is right. It's a sinful, silly thing. And people, you do not need to use this product.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Well, that's a pretty definite opinion here. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
We both have a very similar opinion about this. Your natural thyroid hormone is actually a blend of the two main human thyroids, your T4 and your T3, as John said before. Your body converts the T4 into T3, and the T3 is much more biologically active in your body. And it's present in a ratio of about 20%, I believe, of the whole. What happens when you take Synthroid is basically Synthroid is synthetic and contains only T4. So you're relying on your body 100% to be able to convert that hormone to its active phase. And there are many factors that could cause this not to happen. And if you don't have the right cofactors to convert T4 to T3, you can take all the Synthroid in the world and it's not going to help you. It's just going to cause side effects.
So we should tell them what those cofactors are.
Well, melatonin, as you mentioned before, is very important. Progesterone, testosterone, zinc deficiency also causes a profound change in the ability to convert them. Your thyroid is very important for combating low energy, depression, breast cancer, calcium absorption, almost any metabolic function that your body does. And if you're not converting your T4 into the active T3, well, you're hurting.
Yeah, and so, you know, I know a number of people who have been hyperthyroid, okay?
Hyperthyroid.
Hyperthyroid.
Right.
And so their physician said, well, let's just kill your thyroid gland and then we'll give you Synthroid. And one of these people was a doctor and agreed to do this. And so I get really, really nervous about this when people make those kinds of choices and they're supposed to know better. So I know, John, you're biting at the bit. We'll be right back and have John give his 2 cents worth here right after this break. You're listening to Senior Speak. Hello. Welcome back to Senior Speak, our third segment today. My name is Marla Oberhausen. I'm here with our guest, Dr. John Day, and pharmacist Chris Turf. And we're finishing our series on hormone replacement therapy and the importance of you being a responsible agent in your life and looking at natural alternatives. Gentlemen, before we get back to talking about Synthroid and thyroid hormones, I want to make certain that you give our listeners, especially those folks who are out of state, information about your website so they can call those up, and then I'll give them the numbers again and they can make a long distance call if they want to pursue this with you. So Chris, what's your website?
Our website at Pharmaca is www.epharmaca, that's epharmaca.com.
Okay, and you can reach Chris in Boulder, Colorado. They're at 1647 Pearl Street at 303-442-5164. And John, tell our listeners about your website, please.
My website address is www.halenlifestreamcenter.com or www.halenlifestream.com. Halen, H-A-E-L-A-N, is an old English word that we get the words heal, whole, holy, and holistic from. So it's Halen Life Stream Center.
And his number in Boulder, Colorado is 303-449-0737. And I might tell you folks who are listening in South Carolina and Florida that Chris does compound medications for people and ship them to other parts of the country. If you're not in the enviable position of living close to their pharmacy, they do ship things to you. So you can call him, talk with him about various things, and he could, as he does for one of my friends in Columbus, Ohio, ship things out to you. Now, John, at the break, you were biting at the bit and wanting to talk more about Synthroid and the thyroid hormone, and both of you said that Synthroid has SYN, which you're saying is sinful to take this, and people should not do it. Let's talk more about that.
Well, Synthroid, you have wonderfully more available and safer and productive options. Synthroid is simply T4, and the body needs to have certain cofactors present to convert that T4 into T3 in the liver and the kidneys. T3 is the form that the body wants, and the body needs to have progesterone, testosterone, melatonin, cortisol, various minerals. Chris mentioned zinc, also selenium, iron, and iodine, and then there are various vitamins, B2, A, and E, that are needed. So many physicians will prescribe Synthroid, but physicians don't think usually in terms of, well, what is the age of this person, and do they have those nutritional elements on board, and do they have those natural hormones on board for this conversion? So people take their Synthroid, and many people just don't get any better. But they do get the side effects of Synthroid, one of which is osteoporosis. What people should be doing is taking a natural thyroid that has more T3 in it, such as Armour Thyroid or Westroid, and they should definitely, please remember, be utilizing the other types of hormone cofactors that are needed by the body.
Now, say those two things again, because I'm sure a lot of people are trying to write that down and saying, now, John, what did you say? What could they take instead of Synthroid?
So they should be using Armour Thyroid, A-R-M-O-U-R Thyroid, is a bovine or cow source thyroid that's bioidentical, and they can use Westroid, which is a New Zealand product.
Okay.
So these two compounds have more T3 in them, and you're just going to be able to feel it very quickly in the body and get the benefits of what thyroid does for our metabolism. It kind of wakes us up.
Well, I guess the reasonable question is, why does the Western medicine model physician prescribe Synthroid when it doesn't work in a lot of people and it's not what the body really needs? I don't get it.
Neither do we.
Nobody seems to understand this adequately. And the easiest thing to say is Western doctors are not trained in America to think about natural hormones. Western or natural anything, Western doctors are trained to think pharmaceutical and to divide the human being into so many organ segments to treat with so many pharmaceuticals and invasive surgeries, etc. We should move on perhaps to human growth hormone, retire that, and say some words about sex steroid hormones.
Okay, well, let's move on to human growth hormones then.
Okay, human growth hormone is made in the pituitary gland. It is a major biomarker hormone, and it's the most powerful anti-aging substance that we currently know of. Unfortunately, the only way to get it into the body and effective means is by taking it intravenously, which is quite expensive and does have some side effects.
Okay.
The hormone is one of those that does like to come out at night to play. It is stimulated in its production in the anterior pituitary by deep sleep, by fasting, and by exercise. Which puts a plug in for those three things that we need to be doing in our life. That is, exercise is important. Not consuming so much carbohydrate is important because carbohydrate increases insulin load, and insulin is an antagonist to growth hormone. And we need to work on our rest, our sleep cycle. We need to devote a lot of attention to the healing benefit of the sleep cycle. Chris might have some words to say about human growth hormone.
There are a number of products on the market that claim to be as effective as human growth hormone. So far in my practice, I have not seen any that can live up to that claim.
Okay.
There is one now that may end up being promising. I have a number of practitioners who are using it, and it's a homeopathic human growth hormone. But I would say it's too early to tell. Save your money.
So don't spend money on anything that says it's affecting HGH, because it's probably not. And so at this point, if they're not getting the intravenous HGH, they're probably not getting what they would need, and that's expensive and has some side effects.
True.
As John mentioned.
There are, though, some natural things from the natural world, certain amino acids and certain herbs, that do increase the levels of human growth hormone secretion in the body. Human growth hormone is then transformed in the liver into IGF-1, and it's IGF-1 that probably has all the physiologic effects of the anti-aging from human growth hormone. These natural substances present in nature are compounded by herbal companies into human growth hormone secretagogues, and they do seem to have some effect, but there are not studies on them that I can speak from. I can only speak from anecdotal evidence, from hearsay, and from the fact that I've used these products myself, and I think that they do something.
Okay.
We should perhaps move on to the sex steroid hormones now.
Yeah. Now tell for the folks who are just joining us, tell them again what the sex hormones are, John, and then we'll move forward with this.
So the sex steroid hormones are made in the major sex glands of the body, primarily ovary and testes, and there's also a small amount of these hormones made in the adrenal gland. The major grandmother hormone from which they're all derived is pregnenolone. Pregnenolone is a nice hormone to take, but taking it will not lead necessarily to the production of the other four sex steroid hormones, which are DHEA, progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen.
Okay.
Pregnenolone is a hormone that is very good and very nourishing to the central nervous system. It improves memory. It improves cognition. It enhances brain function in general. It promotes and prolongs deep stage sleep. It increases oxygen consumption by the brain. It acts as a natural antidepressant. Indeed, all of these sex steroid hormones seem to do that. All of these sex steroid hormones seem to help us combat and deal with stress. All of them seem to stimulate the liver in terms of the liver activity. All of them seem to help elevated cholesterol levels and elevated cortisol levels. They all seem to protect against neurodegenerative disease, improve endurance, lower fatigue, improve motor performance, and all of them seem to be anti-inflammatory.
So
why wouldn't we want them?
Yeah, well, it sounds like their pregnenolone is very important. I'm not familiar with that, and I know a lot about vitamins and minerals. Why is this not a common term for people?
Well, there's not been a great deal of research, as much research done on pregnenolone as the other hormones, including melatonin. Pregnenolone is being the grandmother hormone that you would think, well, geez, they would be researching it a lot, and indeed they are now, but in the past it wasn't the case. We'll learn more and more about pregnenolone as time goes by, and more about how it can be used in an intelligent way with these other biomarker sex steroid hormones. The usual dose is anywhere from 25 milligrams to 100 milligrams a day. You can buy it at compounding pharmacies. You can buy it at, from certain herbal companies. I think it's becoming more commonly stocked on the shelves of health food stores now.
So, Chris, you can compound this at your pharmacy?
Yeah, we sure do.
Okay, and so do you do this for people? Is this something people are starting to pay attention to, and you're starting to make more of this for folks?
Yes, in fact, we've seen some people do really well with this.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about a recent trend in hormone replacement therapy with women using testosterone. Why is this important? What's happening with this? John, I know you and I've had some conversations about testosterone.
Testosterone is, there's nothing like testosterone to build bones. It's the bone-building hormone. It's why men don't seem to get osteoporosis. There's nothing like testosterone that makes libido happen. If a woman or a man has no testosterone in their system, then there will be no libido, no matter how hard they try. But there are.
So the will is not as important as having this in your system, right?
Yes, this is a great hormone for men and women to use, and I think most menopausal women should be considered for some testosterone replacement, and certainly the andropausal aging male body after age 50 should be considered for testosterone replacement.
All right, well, we'll be right back on Senior Speak with our guest today and finish our conversation on hormone replacement therapy. We hope you will join us right after our final break today. You're listening to Senior Speak. Hello, welcome back to our final segment today on Senior Speak. We're here with John Day and Chris Turf, and we're talking about hormones and their importance in the body and hormone replacement therapy. Gentlemen, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg today, aren't we? There's so much richness to this area. We're going to have to do this again. I mean, I feel like we're just kind of touching various things, but we're really not getting it in as much depth as we could for our listeners. But
the listener can read about it, and the listener can consult with people who are knowledgeable. The average physician is not going to be knowledgeable about this. Mm-hmm. The average consumer can learn more about hormone physiology than most physicians know by reading one or two books.
Yes, and I think that is indeed the case. So we hope you will do that, take what you learned today, work with that, and grow and learn a great deal more. So we've been talking about, we were talking about before the break, testosterone and the importance of men after the age of 50 or 45, 50, whatever, taking that, and then the potential for women to take that also to enhance their bones if they're having challenges. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Well, testosterone is good for building bones. In fact, nothing does it better, and it's good for libido. Nothing does that like testosterone. But those are not the real reasons to use testosterone. The real reason to consider testosterone is for its regulatory effect on carbohydrate, fat, and protein metabolism, and for how very helpful it is to diabetics in controlling their blood sugar. It increases insulin sensitivity as part of that process. It also improves the collagen or connective tissue formation of the skin and other soft tissues of the body. It basically is the hormone that helps hold us together, if you will. And it thickens the skin, which is a prominent issue in aging people. Their skin just becomes thinner and thinner. And this
almost
is
see-through for some people.
This is a collagen issue. It tends to increase energy levels. It tends to act as a very strong antidepressant. I will consider it as an antidepressant because it increases the release of dopamine and it increases the production of the beta endorphins. It prevents blood clots. It's more effective probably than Coumadin in doing that if it's used correctly in a physiologic way, and so therefore it lowers the risk of stroke from blood clot and the risk of heart attack and these types of things. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know that it increases lean muscle mass, which muscle mass declines about 9% per decade, and that's a real problem because then we start, our metabolism completely shifts as we lose muscle mass. So those are some of the things that are beneficial. Of course, it does, like many of these sex steroid hormones, it has an anti-inflammatory action, so it's good to consider as something to add for someone who has a lot of inflammatory change in the body from arthritis, etc. And it's noteworthy that it helps prevent or diminish autoimmune diseases. Autoimmune diseases were fairly new player on the scene after World War II, and they seem to be increasing in prevalence as each decade goes by, and testosterone might have some benefit here.
So a lot of people, I think, are not aware of the myriad of benefits that testosterone could offer them. Just in terms of the bones and the skin, I never knew that. That's an amazing thing that people, again, need to be educated about.
Antidepressant, anti-inflammatory, helps insulin, helps carbohydrate metabolism, protein metabolism, fat metabolism, on and on and on.
I would like to clarify also, a lot of people, when they hear testosterone, automatically these connotations of things that have come up in the media about athletes using testosterone and stuff like that come to mind. And I want to emphasize that we're talking about normal physiologic levels of testosterone, not super levels to create, you know, super muscle-bound, you know, muscle heads. We're talking about levels that are found normally in a young body.
Now, if a woman, for example, is considering taking testosterone, or a man is considering taking testosterone at a certain age of his life, is there a test that you take to see how much testosterone you've got? And then from that test, you say, then I'm going to take X amount now? I mean, how do you find out how much to take?
I like saliva testing. Saliva measures free unbound hormone in the bloodstream. Blood testing measures a hormone that's bound to a sex steroid binding globulin. And as such, when people get blood tests, they're not really measuring how much hormone is running around to act in the free capacity at the cellular level. So I don't get much help from using blood studies for the sex steroid hormones. I like saliva testing. It's very simple. It's relatively cheap. It can be done when one wakes up in the morning. These kits are available. You produce the saliva to go into a little receptacle, and it's sent off to the laboratory that measures the levels for you. And one can do a baseline if one wants, or if one is in a certain older age range, just go ahead and start on the hormone and go out a couple of months on the hormone and then do a saliva test to see if we're coming into youthful physiologic ranges. So I like the saliva test personally.
Okay. Saliva test is good too, because you can do it in your own home. You can acquire it from a pharmacy that carries it or a clinician that carries them, and you don't have to go and get, you know, stuck by a needle at a hematology clinic.
Now, do you have those at Pharmaca?
We do
Boulder?
Carry those, yes.
Okay, and so someone could come in and talk with you about what to get and how to do it or whatever.
Sure.
I imagine there's self-explanatory directions on the box.
Very easy.
Okay.
Which labs do you work with?
We use Aaron Life Cycles.
Okay, that's a good lab. That's the one I've traditionally used. There's some other very good ones, too. ZRT out of Beaverton, Oregon is a good one, for instance.
Okay. Now let's move on to the DHEA and talk a bit about that, John.
DHEA is dehydroepiandrosterone. Just remember DHEA. And DHEA is made in the adrenal gland. It's the most abundant of all of the sex steroid hormones. Its levels are very high at age 25 and continue to decline thereafter. DHEA, progesterone, and pregnenolone are hormones that are very important for brain. In fact, the brain has more receptors to these hormones than any other organ in the body. DHEA is a precursor hormone to androstenedione, which is then made into estrogens and testosterone. Using DHEA can increase levels of these other sex steroid hormones, so that must be borne in mind. Probably more research has been done on DHEA than the other sex steroid hormones, with the exception of estrogen and progesterone, maybe over 4,000 articles, which generally speak well of this hormone in terms of what it does to enhance immune function, enhance anti-aging capacity, enhance antioxidant capacity, help prevent cancer, help prevent obesity, lower cholesterol, reduce anxiety, increase sense of well-being, help us handle stress.
So there's a variety of things that this does to support people.
There's numerous things. We couldn't even begin to list them all here. But the main things Americans want to hear are the things about obesity and aging and well-being and antidepressant activity.
All right, let's move to progesterone as we're winding down today and talk a little bit about that sex hormone.
Progesterone is the precursor hormone to estrogen and testosterone, and it is the precursor hormone to cortisol. Cortisol is made in the adrenal gland, and we need certain levels of it to help us deal with stress. Unfortunately, we have learned in post-World War II America to be, we work on chronic distress, and so cortisol levels are fairly high, and that's hurtful to the immune system. Melatonin and progesterone seem to help mediate this excess cortisol effect. So cortisol is a natural thing in the body, but the pharmacist or the pharmaceutical industry, supply us with products like prednisone, which is a type of synthetic cortisol, and that's probably an overprescribed pill too. We probably could be doing a lot of proper dosing of people with natural sex steroid hormones in place of all of these prednisones that we're seeing on the market.
I agree.
You agree, Chris?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Let's move to our final one, estrogen. I think you had a few more comments about that, John, and then I want to tie up our program today, which has been rich in content.
Well, we probably should say a little bit more about progesterone. Progesterone is actually an androgen. It's more closely related to testosterone than estrogen. As such, it is an antagonist to some of the negative side effects of estrogen, which are proliferation of breast tissue and proliferation of uterine lining, which lead to breast and uterine cancers. Progesterone is a very good bone trophic or bone building hormone. It is a stronger bone building hormone than estrogen is, and there are biochemical reasons that have been well worked out that support what I just said. It is a natural antidepressant, a natural anti-inflammatory. Once again, all of these hormones sort of look alike, and they have many similar effects in terms of general body function.
Okay. Well, we've pretty much run out of time. Do you have a quick 30-second thing about estrogen you want to finish with about that, or have we said enough about that?
Well, I think Chris said some good things about the estrogen, estriol. There are three estrogens, estrone, estradiol, and estriol. Estriol is the most abundant one. Estriol is dead in the water in people who've had breast cancer, and so it's something to think about to use to help prevent breast cancer, because it does have a protective effect, and there are biochemical reasons for that. Chris?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. The estriol, in numerous clinical testing situations, has borne that evidence out. So it's underutilized. There's no question about it.
And because people don't know.
Right.
They just don't know, and so they don't utilize it. All right, gentlemen, again, quickly, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, John.
Well, you can reach me by calling Halen Lifestream Center, 303-449-0737 in Boulder, Colorado, or on my website, www.halenlifestreamcenter.com. Halen, H-A-E-L-A-N, is an old English word for heal, whole, holy, and holistic.
Wonderful. Chris, tell folks how they can get in touch with you, also in Boulder, Colorado, at Pharmaca Integrative Pharmacy.
You can reach me there at 303-442-5164 or see our website at www.epharmaca.com. We'd be happy to talk to you.
Folks, it's so important that you look at natural alternatives, work with your physician, in some cases, educate your physician. You probably know a great deal more about this than they may know. So read, study, talk with people, get good, wise counsel, and make choices that are truly in your best interest. Thanks to Chris Turf for joining us today and Dr. John Day. And we thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Senior Speak.